Titanic has been over for quite some time, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Ariel, and I am joined by the iceberg to my ship. It is Grace. Grace, how are you?
I destroy you? Is that I rip you in half emotionally?
Yes, but in a way that I appreciate, and then I sink.
Is this podcast on a slow demise or break in half? And then
I think so far, yes, to answer your question.
Years later, they'll discover it.
No, Bill but Paxton. I mean that in only the good way. Stop. Don't say his name like that, all cavalier. Like I'm not gonna get sad. Yeah. Grace, what's up? How are you?
Titanic got re-released. So James Cameron, the problem is like, I don't really have enough money. I'll make enough money from the box office. If we just re-release one of my most successful films of all time, one of my most successful films of all time, that'd be great.
I wondered. I had a few questions. Mm-hmm. One, I wondered why we were covering it. It was re-released. And two,
25 years, baby.
I wondered why our special guest agreed to be on the pod. It is none other than LaTanya. What's up, LT?
I'll never let go, Ariel.
Aw.
Except for all the times I do.
Except for all the time.
She let go a lot of times.
Yeah, she does immediately pretty much.
She immediately lets go. Yeah.
Sorry, we are spoiling Titanic. And then I already told her we don't need a plot recap. If you haven't seen it,
no, I'm doing a plot recap. I don't care what you say, Grace.
You're doing a recap of Titanic. Okay.
Well, you'll see. I'm doing a very special plot recap.
Is it a musical?
Where do you fall? It might be. No, no spoilers. Where do you fall on the ship versus iceberg debate of it all?
You mean which one am I rooting for?
Yeah, well, going into the movie, yeah, I mean, you saw the movie recently, right? Again,
I did. Yeah.
Okay. And how long had it been since you last saw it? As an interview? Now?
Wow, at least 10 years, if not more. Like, I sometimes it would just be on like a random cable channel, and I'd be like, well, I can't not watch 3 hours of this movie.
With commercials, I'm down for 4 hours and a half to watch this.
I'm bored all the time. So.
I had never seen this movie in theaters before.
I saw it in theaters in 1997.
That's why we brought you on. You're the only one who had seen it in theaters.
Yeah.
I was too young. I was 6 years old. So
okay.
There's
nice flex.
Straight
nice
up.
Flex.
Thank you.
Really?
Straight up
2 seconds away from using an F-bomb here.
It's not allowed to watch the movie in theaters.
Right? It's fine. I don't care how old you are. I saw it
I'm
in
not
theaters.
Now. I'm just six at the time it came out.
You are still six. Don't
leave
lie,
it alone.
Babe.
I saw it as a double feature, believe it or not, in theaters. Wow. I think I was in Miami, Florida at the time.
Wow.
Maybe
what'd
Orlando.
What'd you pair it with?
American Werewolf in Paris.
Wow. A pair in Paris. Love that.
Werewolf.
A werewolf. Yeah, it's great. Really so we hadn't seen it in theaters. I was like really looking forward to seeing it in theaters, and I would really be looking forward to you, the listener, subscribing to the Posho Recaps Theater feed. PoshoRecaps.com/movies is the URL for your podcast catcher needs. Search Posho Recap Theater, rate and review. We didn't sink the ship. Please do not punish us. We would appreciate 5 stars. Grace, is this a 5-star movie?
I rated it 5 stars. Yeah, I think it is a 5-star movie. I think it's so good. It's so good. It's like, it is long. It's obviously long. It's 3 hours. I joked last week that like, yeah, I didn't watch this movie in theaters. I watched it on 2 VHSs. You had to switch that thing over.
That's
rewind.
Right.
Be kind.
Do you remember what part it like separates? You know, it like has the
right scene? When the ship does.
Is it? Oh, that would be amazing.
That'd be great.
I'm sure that it's
a seamless transition. Yeah, you do that. I'm sure it would be a seamless transition, or would not. But I remember those VHSs.
I own them.
I never owned them, but my friend did, and I would tease her like a fool because I was a Philistine at the time, and I waited years to see this movie. I'm just gonna
you
out myself.
One of those.
I was one of those. I was like, what is with Leonardo DiCaprio? Why do people care? Why do people care about this boy, this child who was on 17 magazine for years and years?
Thankfully.
And like, now he's acting. Well, now whatever. But like at the time, I was like,
I know
we don't talk about Bruno now.
I will defy. Yes, no. I will defy expectations. And this movie was out for so long. As someone who always went to the movie theaters, I was like, still it's out.
It was so good. How could you not be in love with Leonardo DiCaprio if you had a beating
heart?
He's
so good in this. I mean, he's very attractive.
Yeah.
Listen, no one told me that he was king of the world in this movie. Okay. Had I known that, well, I didn't see it. Had I known that, maybe I would have given it a chance sooner. But no, I didn't.
Two things I always forget about this movie. Number one, mm-hmm. that Kathy Bates is in it. And thank yep. God. Because she's great. Number two, that it's 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I always forget how long this movie is. I don't know how, but it happens every time.
It does happen. Grace, did you find the thing? I feel like your face is
they right when the captain is like when he realizes that the ship is absolutely gonna sink. Yeah.
It's like cut to commercial.
I was close.
Yeah.
We're gonna sink.
It's when he gets told. He gets told and then they're like and he's like, yep, yes. Guess it's gonna
King sing. Theoden. Oh. King Theoden of
Theoden King.
Of not the Mines of Moria. We are talking about the horsemen of Rohan. I remembered. King Theoden himself. So many incredible guest stars, I guess you could say. Ensemble cast in this movie.
Good ensemble cast.
You already mentioned Kathy Bates. Would you recommend this movie, LaTanya? Well, specifically, here's the thing. Here's the stipulation. Would you recommend people go out and seek the movie in this weird 3D format that it was re-released in?
See, that's a trick question. Because I don't get the 3D release. I really don't.
They just had the glasses left over from Avatar and didn't know what to do with them.
James, that's what I call him. James was like, listen, my movie, I honestly feel like he probably sits at home and he's like, I'm going to change these things about my movies and then re-release them in like 10 years. This one, he was like, I'm just going to make the thing 3D. I have to be honest. I forgot I was watching it in 3D when I watched it on Sunday. I was so immersed in the movie and in Kate Winslet's weirdly reddish hair that I kind of forgot about the 3D.
Was that a wig? Do you think? Or did they really like fry her hair?
I think that's her hair.
That's her hair.
There's no way she's wearing a wig the whole movie. Yeah. I don't really understand why they did a 3D re-release.
They probably felt like they needed to make it different. Like put like a bell and whistle on it.
No,
but I agree.
I don't disagree with the correct answer.
Yeah, they could charge more, I guess. But also, didn't it cost money to I guess probably at some point it'd been 3D. Did this one ever have the thing where it was like, you know, get the 3D glasses and you're in the cereal and you can, I don't know, whatever.
I feel like if it did, I would have had those glasses.
The thing is, like, there's this really fine line about 3D where, like, there was a moment where I feel like when Avatar got released, the first one, everyone was like, this is really awesome. And it was made in a way that is so, it's like very, I think 3D actually works for that movie because it's so like immersive. And then there was this wave of movies that would come out and we'd be like, we got to chuck stuff at the screen. So people are like, no, it's 3D. And like that one doesn't work for me. And so this one, like if it had been made at a time when like if James Cameron had made this movie knowing it would be in 3D, I bet it'd be awesome in 3D. The problem is that it was like not made. So there's like, you know, when you're like watching stuff, like, you know, when the ship is like halfway down, like when it's sort of completely vertical and like things are, you should expect that like, yeah, should be trying to dodge some chairs or stuff, but you're not. So I don't really know why they were like, yep, this one's good. We're going to make it in 3D. I thought it was a little pointless to make it in 3D, but whatever. I agree with you. I kind of forgot
the movie.
I would absolutely recommend this movie. Yeah. As I said, 5-star movie.
I was looking forward to, in the very beginning, I put on my 3D glasses and I was like, oh snap, I can't wait to see this iceberg in 3D. It's going to be so cool. And then, like I said, I forgot. And
didn't Bo and Yang already do this on SNL?
He did do a version. Yes, he did. Give a voice to the iceberg.
To the iceberg.
My favorite thing about 3D movies now is it's really unclear when it's 3D. Like obviously you buy the ticket or whatever, but sometimes they'll like put it in a movie that like is a 3D. So very funnily at the beginning of this movie when it was like put on your 3D glasses, so many people were like, F, and they had to get up and go get their 3D glasses. A few weeks ago, I went to go see Knock at the Cabin, and it was in a 3D theater. So there was all these 3D things. And I turned to my friend, I'm like, do we need 3D glasses for this? And he's like, I don't know. And I turned around, there was a guy right behind me, and I was like, do we need 3D glasses for this? And he's like, I don't know. I don't work here. I was like, fair enough. I don't know why. I feel like I came at him like pretty hard because I was just like mad and confused about the situation because there was 3D glasses, but I didn't pay for 3D, but it was
that's
in a 3D.
Hilarious.
And so I'm just, do we need 3D glasses? He's like, I don't know. I do
why
not work here.
Not
and I was like,
you should have said
need to be 3D.
It's not 3D.
It was,
but
okay.
It was in, but it was playing in one
they
of the theaters.
They were showing it in like a 3D auditorium.
Yes.
That is
yes.
Also got
so,
it. Okay.
So there was
got
3D it. Glasses. There's a basket. And when you walk by, it's like, oh shoot, do I need 3D glasses or not? You don't want to be the people who
the
had to get up
time...
at the start of Titanic and go and get your glasses because you forgot them.
The mm-hmm. next time that you ask someone a question like that and they yeah. respond, I don't know, I don't work here. You say, well, neither do I, clearly. Like, why are you getting on my case?
We're all in
it?
This together.
Right. I thought
I'd
we
be
were
like,
peers.
Well, I work here and you're out.
Yeah, this is me. I
well, I'm
here.
About to get hired here just so I can kick you out.
And I asked that question about 3D glasses rhetorically as a fun
yes.
movie theater bit.
As a
you
game.
Should have said, I wasn't speaking to you.
That's right. And then point to the employee really far behind him. Yeah,
hey, you.
Theater employee, yeah.
I was emoting to stage right, mm-hmm. which is your
where
left,
the iceberg is.
Where the iceberg is dead ahead, sad. Mm-hmm.
That's where they should have cut the movie.
When he yells, iceberg dead ahead, then cuts a commercial.
I wish at the movie theater they had have like been like, okay, this is where we're going to switch the VHS. And then pause it, little intermission.
Or just put on the screen, like VHS yeah. switching. Okay.
Yeah.
We've all said that this movie's great.
It's amazing.
If you somehow have made it this far in life and you haven't seen this movie yet, which is totally fair because that was me for many years.
It's not fair. There's something wrong with you.
You should see it.
So there's a thing that James Cameron, did you guys see this thing where he was talking about, I think it's about the first Avatar. Don't worry. It's about the first Avatar, I think. And he was saying that he would go to the network and the network would be, or like network, whoever,
the studio.
And the studio would be like, you know, yeah, you spend a long time like having them like ride around on these like dragony creatures. And so like, I don't know, like, what's the point? And his like response is just like, yeah, sometimes there's like scenes in movies that don't serve a plot. They're not like advancing mm-hmm. plot. They're not whatever, but he's just like, it's just something I want to see on a theater. And I feel like this movie is like, he had that in him at this time. Cause yeah, it's a 3-hour mm-hmm. movie, but it is such like long stretches of time where like, and I was trying to think about like why the romance works so well between Leo and Kate, like Jack and Rose, apologies, that like, it's just them like dancing and they're just like hanging out below. Like, it just like, I don't know, the whole like, this is such a like, there's like so much of this movie that's just a hangout movie before then we get like the thing that the movie's
tragedy.
About, which is like, yeah, the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it sets up the tragedy really well because like we get to spend so much time in the movie, like hanging out with them and like, you know, being mad at her, at you know,
Cal.
What's his face? Yeah,
at Rose's
terrible.
Mom,
Billy Zane, and Rose's mom. You know, and we just want them to be like happy and free, and then you just know, like, well, hey, the ship's gonna sink, and they're
and
die,
also. Anytime they're talking smack about Kathy Bates' character, you're like, don't make me come into that screen.
I will destroy all of you.
You.
Don't make me come up to first class.
Don't make me acquire new money so that I can join the ranks of your upper deck and then throttle you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now it is that point in the podcast where I will spill the PSRT.
Yes.
And we are going to go through the plot of this movie, just like we do on every podcast here on Post Recaps Theater. Okay, so it starts, and Jack is all like, every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you go on. And then Rose is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you go on. I shouldn't go on. I don't know. I wasn't sure how far I would take this. Yeah. Celine Dion is a queen. We should mention, I'm sad that we have made it this far without mentioning her. She has the very famous song that was on the Z100 number one, 9 at 9 for years and years and years, seemingly. I'm sorry. We're not actually doing
the
summary. This movie is way too long and you should just go see it if you haven't seen
25 years was the re-release.
25 years.
So What I
this
love
movie a- can legally yeah. drink now. That's what right. I'm saying.
This movie is too old to date currently Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh wow, we did it. We made it.
We made
we did
it.
The joke. Yep.
We did it.
Well done.
I can't believe that the song never fully gets played until the very end of the until the credits. Like I in my head, that's not what happened in the movie. But they, I mean, they do play the song, like the, yeah. the mm-hmm. instrumental
she
version
sing
of it.
The song.
But she does not sing the song, which like my, does
you gotta
work.
Save it. You gotta save mm-hmm. that.
Yeah,
like, there had to be a middle ground though.
Imagine how many tears there would be. Like there were already so many tears when I saw this movie because I was not expecting what happened in this movie mm-hmm. to happen. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, Jack and Rose, they'll make it happen somehow. And mm-hmm. then he died. And I was just like, no. Like absolutely.
You're like, wait,
not.
Why isn't he moving? He's looking a little blue.
Yeah.
Is that rigor mortis? Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he's a dead mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And I cried so long and so hard that it was like, but it was the entire theater. It wasn't just me. It felt like a communal experience of a bunch of teenage girls crying long and hard at this movie. So I don't know what you've been doing with yourself for 25 years if you have not seen this. It's just like a seminal classic that I completely understand why they would re-release. I don't know why they do it in 3D, but I understand why they would re-release it at 25 years. And the two stars of this movie have gone to such great heights since that it's just, I mean, mm-hmm. they're huge now.
It's like a miracle. It's like a miracle that they were in this movie at all.
Yeah.
A miracle.
Kate Winslet broke the record for holding her breath. So she should have actually been the one who was
wow.
not on the door because she broke doesn't
this
matter.
Door.
Should I get into this?
I thought Margot Robbie would like a word.
You want to do the door debate? It's been done.
Okay.
We could do the
here,
door
no,
debate.
No, no, no. I don't want to do the debate. Done. But I will say that I have always maintained, and by the, and I obviously I
for the last 3 weeks
movie, didn't see the movie for years. But then in like I want to say like in this was in high school, so somewhere in like the early 2000s, I finally saw the movie. It was like maybe 10 years after, 8 or 9, 10. Who cares? And I watched it and I'm like, well, she's there are two things to consider. There is the surface area of the thing, oh right, of God. The door, but there's also the buoyancy and the ability of the thing to stay up. It is barely staying afloat with her
it
on
is it. Barely.
With him, he would have fit on it, but it would have sank. End of debate. That
yeah.
is it. That
well,
is like,
there
I
is a scene in the movie where
long.
They both try to get on the door and it
I
doesn't
know.
Work.
I know. I did forget that that's there because in my head, it's always like, oh my God, she's so stupid. But like he does try to get on and it flips. Then he's like, no, I won't try to get on. Which also like they've just been through an incredibly traumatic event. Like the fact that they wouldn't be thinking straight. I will say Mythbusters like did yeah. scientifically prove that they both could have been on the door, but like whatever, you know, who cares? Then they wouldn't have died and would have been a sad ending. So
my sister maintains that they should have taken turns, and I was like, yes, because mm-hmm. you have so much energy in freezing cold conditions.
Jack's not taking turns either.
No, he's not. There's no way. Yeah, it's just not gonna happen
it. No
yeah
and
then once you get out and then you get back in, you're too cold, like that's not yeah. It's not a
you
good thing.
You can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And then the person who like switched is like, I'm not switching back. Like, you're the idiot for agreeing to switch with me at all.
Right. Also,
I know
chivalry.
We love each other.
Like,
but
it's,
also...
it's the 1920s. It's the mm-hmm. odd 20s.
Yeah. I did forget how horrific the end of the movie is when they're just like looking at dead bodies in the water. It's pretty actually horrific. Like, it's like actually the horror element of this movie of like people falling. I always remember Propeller Guy. That guy yeah. who just jumped off and hit the propeller.
Oh,
that's
that
brutal.
That was like some Lord of the Rings, like what's that Minas Tirith like final battle in Return of the King type stuff. That was brutal. I did not yeah. remember that.
Yeah.
And I will say to your point, Grace, I you know, once I did see the movie, I saw it a bunch of times. I had never seen it in theaters, like I said, and I watched it, and I was struck and shocked by just how I don't want to say sad because yes, it's sad, but like how tragic and awful the real life component of this yeah. thing is. Like when you first see it, or certainly when we were younger, it's like, oh, love. Oh, and then he dies and that's all cool and great. But like just the amount of people that were just doomed and mm-hmm. it like looms very heavy over the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And like if for no other reason, I appreciated that this movie was like, in some small elitist way, giving voice to like these terrible real life victims.
I might be like the only person who does it, but like in my head, like I think that sometimes, like, especially like tragedies that happened a really long time ago, like the idea is like, yeah, it sank, just like, yeah, it didn't immediately sink. Like, they do a really good job. He actually I think like they do some very good like Top Gun Maverick-y stuff in aerial where they show what the ship is going to do
at the very beginning.
Yeah, so that when the ship, and I'm saying they do Top Gun Maverick stuff. Obviously, Top Gun Maverick did a Titanic.
Yes, they did. Well, they kept telling you the plan the whole time. It's very similar. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I would tell you, just to like, before people are like, oh my God, Grace thinks that Top Gun Maverick
is the first movie that ever came out in the history of time.
And ever told you what was going to happen later in the movie.
Yeah,
they invented foreshadowing.
I love when the Titanic, or damn it, when the iceberg sunk that plane in Top Gun Maverick.
So that was sad.
They're remaking, they're doing a sequel to Plane called Ship. We should do a sequel to Titanic.
Listen,
Flight
Plane
or whatever,
is good.
You know? Plane was
Plane
fun.
Was fun.
Plane, is
Plane
great.
Was fun. So
Mike Coulter is killing it post Iron Fist. Not Iron Fist. He was
the good
was
one.
Character? The good one.
The big guy.
Matter. I'll get
Luke
it.
Cage.
Luke so, Cage. That's what I said.
So I think that like, you know, you think of like, yeah, it sank and they all died. You're like, that's sad. But you don't think about like how horrific it would be. The scene that gets me all the time is the mom who's not allowed up and she's like, don't worry, we'll be okay. And then she's reading them like a bedtime story.
Yeah.
And like, they show so that awful. And then they would not, like, obviously you don't want to watch them just like, but yeah, those just people just drown. Like,
drowned.
That
drowned.
Sucks. That whole, like, how much like looming dread there is as you know it's sinking and there's nothing you're going to be able to do. Or these people who like jump off and they're like, I guess I'll try to swim to a button and they're just going to freeze to death. Like, the long, like, prolonged, just like, yeah, death is coming. It's like, not to, I think when we think of like a so, at least in my head, I'm like, the Titanic sank, so they all died instantly. It's like, no, it's like a long, slow process to death, which is like horrific.
Like, it took, they said 4 hours for the Carpathia to arrive. So imagine like those 4 hours of the ship sinking and then people freezing slowly to death.
Yeah, it's horrific. Yeah.
Just all kinds of bad. This did begin my fascination with all things. Well, I mean, I guess I was really interested in history before, but like my fascination with figuring out what happened on the actual Titanic and how accurate movies are to real life. So I watched a whole lot of Titanic documentaries after this.
Even though
Cameron did.
I was about to say, similarly, it seems like, or at this point, it's canon, or I guess it's just what's the real life version of canon, it's just truth, that he like became obsessed with this thing, with like the event, and like really wanted to not just learn about it but like try to make an impact and try to like recover things. And I think his documentary, correct me if I'm wrong, Latanya, was like kind of about him like getting access to the Titanic itself with his like machines or whatever.
Yeah,
from Pandora.
He did the same process for Avatar.
To
make sure that make sure it was historically accurate. The Avatar and Titanic are both historically accurate.
Avatar is so historically accurate that I have trouble with it sometimes.
It's giving so much accuracy. Okay, we talked about or I guess we didn't, Rose and Jack, their love.
Who are they?
It's Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We still care, right? I just want to do like a gut check. Like it's still like the beating heart of the movie.
Yeah.
It's
the thing that like takes you out when he goes out.
It makes sense that they fall in love too. There are so many love stories about improbable love happening where you're like, those couples don't make any sense to me.
The line towards the end, I'm gonna get her name, Gloria Stewart, who plays old Rose. I should say ancient Rose because she's like 177.
Just say older Rose.
When she says, I think just because the movie makes a point to be like, God damn, she's so old. But her incredibly corny line that really just works every time and it stays in my head, like, he saved me in every way that a person can be saved. Mm-hmm, and like, obviously, you know, pointing to literally physically saving her life and also like saving her from her hell that she was living in at the time. It shouldn't work. And it does. And it's probably all because of Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, because
it
they
is.
Are shining stars.
And you just have to think about the conditions under which the people who shot this movie had to have done it. It just sounds like a terrible shoot. Anything where there's a lot of water, it's going to get cold. Yeah. You're wearing period costumes. She's in a corset. Like,
no, thank you.
Terrible. She's in heels at the end of this movie. Ridiculous.
Yeah. We don't love that.
Yeah, I guess I forgot that Rose, real life, not real life Rose. That's modern day Rose. Yeah, she does not exist. Yeah, she has
Anika,
to be like
Anika Noni Rose.
If she's, how old is she in? How old do we think? So, how old is Kate Winslet in the?
She's
in the
17 in 1921, right?
Yikes! Yeah, something. So, that sounds great.
And so it's the Titanic sinks in 1912, right? So
sorry,
I just
strike that. Reverse the numbers.
Oh, she's supposed to be 17 in this movie.
Yeah,
oh. I didn't.
Okay, that seems
listen.
Not right.
It was a
foreshadowing.
Different time.
Some foreshadowing for the Leonardo DiCaprio of it all.
It was a different time.
Well, I mean, Leo looks like he could be 17.
Leo looks like he could
he's
be 15.
Very young.
So you know, if anything, it's her wrong.
She still has to be. I mean, they know they're meant to be in the movie, but she still is over 100 years old. By the time
she's like 118, I think they said. I'm getting the number wrong, but
no way, she can't be that
right.
It's like it was a high number. It wasn't just like, oh, she's 101, like something that like people in real life do get.
She would be if she was 17 in the movie, then she's 101 in 1996.
That math
I mean,
is faulty.
IRL, the last known survivor of the Titanic died in 2009, and they were 97.
Which
These
is the
just
year
that
Titanic came out.
Yeah. Why? I don't
know. And 97 is the year Titanic came out. That's crazy.
Wait,
no,
what?
No. Sorry, 2009.
No, but I'm saying the person was 97.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
1997
oh,
is the year
it.
That
I was
Titanic
like,
came
what?
Out. So obviously that's a connection. I'm sorry. That's, sorry
I do love if you. I wish we got one scene of Bill Paxton as he, like, is like on his video camera or whatever, sees Rose wake up in the middle of the night at the end of the movie and like drop the heart, and he's just like, she effing had that thing on her the whole time. Like, that's literally
time.
Why we brought her.
Or he's running.
We brought her here.
He's running.
He's like, no.
Wait, yeah. we have to pay tribute to Gloria Stewart's little tiny, I don't even know what to call the sound that comes out of her when she drops the heart of the ocean diamond.
I think we should all try to do it.
The...
and see who gets
okay, on the count of three, we're all going to try to do it. Grace, just try your best. One, two, three.
You don't need y'all at home.
I think Ariel won.
Send in your guesses. Vote A for Ariel, B for me, C for Latanya.
B for Grace, G for Grace, and L for Latanya.
Should we do them again just so in case people can know which one is which? Okay, one.
No, I'm
two,
not going to do
three.
It again.
Yeah, there we go. A for Ariel, B for Grace, L for Latanya vote.
Incredible.
Service charges may apply.
We talked about Kathy Bates. Incredible run. We love her standing up for
that
our
woman.
Boy.
A real lady of the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yes.
Real person, Molly.
Real
Brown.
Person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really survived the Titanic and personally. Several other things.
Oh, like she herself was unsinkable. Wow.
Yeah. She was called the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Right. I do remember that.
Kathy Bates is so good. And like, do you know what? I remember the Kathy Bates, but as like Molly is like coming and it's like, who is it? Like, oh, yeah, it's Kathy Bates. And she's so fun. She's like the only rich person who is nice, I guess, other than Kevin's, like, who's not going to be rich after the end of the movie. So, you know, whatever. So, she's like so nice to Jack, like lends him a really nice tuxedo and then, you know, advocates to go back. They ultimately don't go back, but, you know, she tried. She couldn't convince everybody else. So, she's
based
so good in this movie.
Pictures of Rose, I think she does okay. Uh-huh. She's flying planes, she's riding horses.
Oh, yeah, true. But she's not she's like uber rich.
She married
she's not
someone
Monet
with money.
Paintings.
No, probably not. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bill Paxton, we also mentioned.
RIP.
We love you,
him.
Bill.
And your earring in this movie.
And his
earring. One earring. Mm-hmm.
Just like, wow, this is 1997. but he's great at being basically James Cameron, right? Like he's the one who's obsessed with the Titanic. He's the one that's like trying to get the story told, and he's like, we got to fly this woman who's ancient onto the ship and tell us a story. Mm-hmm. Who else do we have? We have Bernard Hill, who plays Captain Smith. I already called him out. My King of Rohan.
Mr. Fantastic is in this movie.
Can I? Yeah. Can I just say about the cat Bernard Hill? I actually think he's not very good in this.
Ooh, spicy take.
Maybe my hot take. I think
great
he's not.
Beard. Great beard.
Great beard.
Beard's doing all the work.
I don't think he's very good in this movie. I don't think he's very... I think he's like so clearly. I mean, I feel bad for Bernard Hill if he's listening. I'm so sorry. But I just think he's not very good. It's just like everybody else is so... This cast is so stacked. And then you just have Bernard Hill being like... All right, like he's good as he's like, when he doesn't say anything and he's gonna go down with the ship.
I was gonna say, he's giving good, like, okay, I'm gonna sink with the shimp now face, you know, like the kind of ghosted, I am ready to die expression when he realizes that his whole world has come.
Sounds like makeup
crumbling down.
See, but I even misremember, like, in my head, I was like, yeah, he's looking at a clock. And then I'm like, nope, that's actually Victor Garber looking at
the
clock.
Yeah, that's Victor Garber.
Okay.
Victor Garber is fantastic.
That was the next person that I wanted to get to because you were like, he's not good. I was like, oh, I will not stand. Speaking of someone
gay
who is
Canadian
good,
icon. So
Victor
I stand.
Garber. Love him. My father from Alias.
Yes. Incredible all our father.
Incredible work from him as always with
can this. I just tell you, if you don't think I'm going to stand Victor Garber, just let me run down some facts. He's Canadian. He's LGBTQ. He has type 1 diabetes. If those are not all the things I love in a person, I don't know what to tell you. I love Victor Garber. So.
His husband has an amazing beard, or at least used to.
Sorry, four things I love. He's Canadian. He's LGBTQ. He has type 1 diabetes. His husband has a nice beard.
I just love everything about him. I love that he's supposed to be Irish in this movie, and he might be the one. I was going to say American. He's not American. He's Canadian. Canadian people can do accents. American people cannot.
I always feel like his accent.
You have an education system. But,
again, is this going to sound like a critique? I always feel like his accent, like, kind of like shows up in the movie. Like, kind of like,
oh
yeah,
sure.
Is he Irish? Oh yeah, he's Irish.
Oh, of course. It's checking in and out, but we love him anyway.
But
because
we think
the
about
fear
it.
In his eyes is palpable. Yeah.
And also, if you were Irish and you were a big time architect, wouldn't you probably try to lose your accent a little bit to try to fit in with society?
He's proud. He's proud though. He used to shovel coal down in the below ship parts.
Me too.
And now he's not. So he's like, I'm going to represent.
He also gets the, like, one of the best line reads of the movie when he's just like, it could take four, but not five. And his
like done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's the idiot played by Jonathan Hyde, Bruce Ismay, who's like the finance person who built the ship, whatever. He does something and he's like, but it can't. It can't sink.
Yeah.
Oh, I assure you, it can. And
it's made of iron. Yeah. Jonathan Hyde absolutely terrified me as a child. He is terrifying in Jumanji, and he's.
I was gonna say, didn't he play like a horrible father in some movie? It was Jumanji.
Richie Rich, I think. No, in Jumanji,
Richie
he
Rich?
Plays the hunter. He plays
who I think is the dad also. Anyway, whatever. Play the hunter though. He does play the hunter. You're right.
Yeah, I think he's the mean to end Richie Rich as well. So
wow, has this man been terrifying me my entire life and I just didn't know it?
When he's like literally in like a department store shooting at children in Jumanji, I'm like, yeah, terrifying.
That movie
terrifying
is underrated.
Oh my god, he's in Strigoi.
Strigoi to Strigoi. Yeah. But yeah, he's in his bag being an evil piece of crap, at least, you know, in the movie. I mean, I'm no knocks against the actual
I remembered him more actively trying to be a woman on, and maybe that's just me what do you call it, projecting,
which
as a small trans child who didn't know they were trans, like, oh, you pretended to be a woman on the ship, huh? Interesting. Yeah.
Oh wow, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just remember them like more actively. But is it Billy Zane who does someone like put their,
I was gonna
like,
say
a thing
Billy
over their head
Zane.
Or something?
No, it's Rose at the end when she's hiding from Billy Zane.
Oh,
she she has her
a blanket.
Virgin Mary moment
in my in my memory of this movie. I remembered someone going full on Miss Doubtfire to try and get on the Titanic.
Let's move on to this life raft, please.
Let me on. That's my like visual memory of this movie, which did not happen when I rewatched it. I think they cut it because they're transphobic.
Oh, that makes sense.
Two things I want to acknowledge. One, that Rose's granddaughter is played by James Cameron's wife. I had no idea that was the case until just now. And two, that the evil
Nepo baby much?
Seriously. And that the evil former cop who is just chasing, doing everything Billy Zane says, David Warner, his name in this movie is Spicer Lovejoy.
I literally was staring at his picture on IMDb and being like, who is this man? And I just remembered he's the henchman.
Yeah, I hated that guy. I hate that
he
guy.
He was awful.
That guy sucks. Yeah.
He showed up at the party, at the dancing party, and narked them out. It was horrible.
He did everything that you could think. He took the key to the handcuffs.
Yes, and then he put the diamond in Jack's pocket.
Yep.
To try to get him in trouble. I didn't do it, Rose. You know me. You know I didn't do it. Okay.
That was good.
David Warner plays a wonderful henchman. Let's talk about Cal himself, Billy Zane.
No.
Wow. Is this the last movie he ever did?
Wasn't he in...
Was this before The Phantom?
Wedding Singer? Is he in The Wedding Singer?
Wow.
Oh, wow. He was.
Is he not? Is he?
He was in Zoolander.
He is That's in Zoolander true. As himself.
And he was in The Boys, apparently.
He's not in The Wedding Singer. I'm mixing him up. You know,
it doesn't matter. That's the point is that he hasn't been in much. And like you're of course you're confused.
That's
about
not
when you
true. He was in Pocahontas Dose.
He was in the Boys.
Silence of the Hams.
This is
he
the
was
Hams?
In Fish Tales.
Wow.
These are classics.
These are movies that you would have seen on Sci-Fi 10 years ago.
Siffy.
He looks like he went full on straight to DVD, I think.
Yeah. There's a short. Apparently, there's a 2015 short called Billy Zane Thinks Zane Tweets Are About Him. But I think it's Zane from that.
That won the Oscar, that right? That year? Best picture? That
yes,
won the
best
Oscar
short.
Name?
Yes.
He was on Community. He's on an episode of Community in 2015.
Yes. Wow.
Is this his most iconic role? No, it'd probably
has
be the
to be.
Though.
No,
but
the
people know him from this. People know him from this. A lot, right?
And maybe it's because he was so good at being a terrible, terrible person in this movie that the people were like, we're not casting him anymore.
He is really good at being, you just really hate him immediately.
He's the
I
worst.
Never lose.
Like that. Grace,
did you like him in this movie? Are you the one holdout?
Do I like Billy Zane as Cal or do I like Cal?
Did you like Cal?
I like Cal, but you can spin it.
Are you in love with Cal,
like,
Grace?
Yeah, imagine this. I came on and was like, oh, I really wish that abusive husband really, you know.
LT and I came to do an intervention. Why do you like his character so much?
Best part of the movie is when the guy who's like, he gave all the money to. And he's like, yeah, what is the point of money if we're all just going to drown? He chucks it back at Billy Zane's face. That's the best. But that guy does then go out to kill himself, so that's pretty sad. But
he kills... What's his name?
I think it's Ewan. I think that's
Oh,
Ewan
he does.
Stewart.
He kills Tommy.
Tommy. Yeah.
That's Ewan Stewart played
Leave
by. Or
Tommy
no, it's
alone.
First Officer Murdoch played by Ewan Stewart. I think he's the one that throws the money in Billy Zane's face, as he should have.
Iron Gruffudd is in this movie.
Who?
I would like Iron Gruffudd. Is I think
he
the way
he
pronounces
yes,
name.
He's the one that rescues Rose at the end. He's the only person on the rescue ships that's like, should we go back? And everyone's like, no.
He was like, all right, fine. You get in these ships. I'm taking this ship back.
Yes.
I don't care.
There's so many like really just memorable, like this movie has so many just like memorable moments and scenes, and the whistle as she like can't blow the whistle.
Yeah.
Even when you're like watching the theater and you know that she's gonna get saved, and you're like, come on.
Come on.
Like, oh,
come
damn,
back.
Her vocal cords are
come
frozen.
Back. Come back.
Yeah.
Come
back. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
And then she has to get into the water. That's probably the most scared I was in the whole movie.
Agreed.
When she has to jump back into the water to go get the whistle that's
from
that
the
save
dead
life.
Man.
Because she's going to be, yes, from the dead man, which is horrible.
And it was
she's
stuck in his
in
mouth.
Water.
Yeah, from the dead man's
be
mouth.
In that
I was
water
waiting
for a while.
Waiting for the whistle to be stuck in that man's mouth.
Oh God, or it breaks and it doesn't work and she jumped into the water for nothing. Yeah. That would have been horrible. But yeah, I have never been more happy to hear a whistle than
I want to give a big shout out who I did forgot was in this movie at all is Eric Braeden, who I think would go like maybe when people would know him, but I don't think you'd know who he is. And I just know him because every day of my mother's life, she watches Young and the Restless. And this is my good friend Victor Newman. From the Young and the Restless. I've never seen him in literally anything else. And I was like, oh, That's Victor from the. But they're not calling him Victor. That's so weird. My brother and I always, as we're home and we're watching my mom watch Young and the Restless, we always ask, is Victor in a coma? It's the only question we ever ask about the Young and the Restless. Is Victor in a coma? And she'll be like, no, he's not. I'm like, okay, great. Thanks. Yeah.
So, the answer is not this week.
Nope. Course, we have to recognize, comparable hottie and friend of Jack, Danny Nucci as Fabrizio.
I am so glad you brought him up because I'm staring at his picture and I'm like, he grew an amazing beard.
He looks
in
hot.
His later years.
He looks great.
Crazy good, way better than he ever looked on that horrible ship.
Yeah.
But Fabrizio, he's a little cartoonish with the accent. Oh, am I right?
100%. Just a little.
I was like, oh wow, okay, he is Portuguese /Italian.
Why didn't they just get an Italian actor? He's American Italian, but
they spent so much money on the CGI and the ship, they couldn't afford a real Italian actor.
Owen Yang as the iceberg, so that was
exciting. Yeah. Just the best part of having Fabrizio is just so that Leonardo DiCaprio as Jack can just keep going, Fabrizio! And then hugs him. That's the only part you want in the movie. Like, it doesn't matter that Danny Nucci, whether he has a good Italian accent or not.
That's not the fun part
of their relationship.
Yes, it's those it's those re-coming togethers, those moments where they find each other again. Yeah. I would say that's like second best, right? It's like Rose and Jack keep coming back together. Why'd you do that, Rose? Why are you so stupid?
You're so stupid, Rose.
And then him and Fabrizio is like, hey, you're still here. You're going to like shoot some guy do something.
Is that the cutest time someone's called someone an idiot in like movie history? Like, it's so cute. He's like, you're an idiot, Rose. It's like so cute. It should not work.
It's cute until Billy Zane is like, I never lose.
Ariel, you're killing it.
I'm killing the ship. It's dying.
This is the best. The best you've ever done at accents. I love it.
Finding my a movie from 1997 is where I find my inspiration. James Cameron would be so proud of me.
I'm sure that's what he's doing right now, being proud of us.
Mm-hmm. There's any other actors you want to go? I think we should talk about the scenes, but if you want to,
I think we're done with the actors.
So there's really good, but I gotta say, there was a tweet that went around that just is like, you know, when Rose just like is holding an axe and one-handed holding onto the pipes to just go save. That's so badass. And also, but then when you watch it, she eventually gets to a part where she just steps down. And she starts, I guess it's to like not be so cold the entire time, but she's so, I don't care that it doesn't maybe make sense. It's so badass that Kate Winslet is just holding an axe, like traversing with one hand through the water. And then the scene where like she's like comes in and he's like, do a practice shot. She hits it once and he's like, okay, now hit the same spot. And she misses. He's like, all right, we're done with practice. Love that scene.
So good. Scene. And the so fact memorable. That she ultimately gets it, even though her eyes are completely closed.
Yeah.
That is the true miracle. Like, that proves that love is real. Like, anything else that happened between them is just nonsense. This is true love. It's swinging an axe with your eyes closed and not hitting your beloved's hands or Agreed. Fingers.
Now, if this were a different movie, she would have chopped off a hand. Mm-hmm. He would have died right then and there.
Yeah.
She would have had to traverse the bloody waters. That's that's the Titanic I want to see 25 years later.
And then there would have been sharks and then maybe it would have been jaws.
The talking sharks from that movie that I can't remember now. Maybe Nemo?
Maybe Nemo.
Baby shark? Question mark? Speaking of scenes, for me, you're just waiting for the tragedy the whole time. Like, I think I don't know that I had ever watched, to your previous point, Latanya, a little bit about like watching it on TV a bunch. I don't know that I had ever seen like the actual first few minutes of this movie.
Oh.
Or at least paid attention to. I think like at some point I saw it on a home video or something, but I was like still fighting. Like, no, I'm not going to watch it. Why'd
like
you do that,
Rose? Like the 1996 stuff where they're like searching the Titanic. Is that what you mean? Or like, I kind of forgot that happened as well. That there's so much time spent in like modern day.
Yes. Yeah. Like a preamble. And then it gets into it and you're like, when's it going to sink? Yes. And it really is, like I said before, like it struck me this time more so than ever before, how like deeply sad and tragic and like sweet in a way, like that he's giving voice to these people that lost their lives in real life. But that the ship, like you said, Grace, we get the explanation in the beginning, like it breaks in half, then it's going to go down, then it's going to start to, and then it's going to come up, but then it's going to break, like the mechanics of it, and you're waiting for it to happen, and you're like, yeah. Oh God, this part of the movie is actually just a horror movie.
Yeah. It is. I also like the symbolism that they use in terms of, no, it doesn't really matter at the end when everyone's about to die what class they were in, right? Yeah. People are like, where are the first class escape ships, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. like, settle down. Everyone's going to die. There are like little children. There are so many children that yeah. die in this movie. Yeah. And also just like, I don't know, the part where Jack just all of a sudden knows exactly what needs to be done in order for them to stay on the ship as long as humanly possible mm-hmm. is great and a testament to how much I am going along for the ride and believing everything Leonardo DiCaprio says in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, we got to get to the top because it's going to flip over and we have to be on the other side of it in like some kind of weird effed up roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm. The one piece of the pacing of the movie for how long it is, it's such a quick period of time between actually, I don't think I can be with you to actually, I'm fully in love with you. Cut yeah. to the scene on the back of the ship, which I also think like when you think of like I'm King of the World, like that's him and her, but it's not. It's like him earlier. And then there's a separate.
It's
scene.
Him with Fabrice.
It's him with Fabrizio. Fabrizio. And then.
Oh, my God. He's here.
Yeah. And then the moment on the back of the ship, which is like maybe the most memorable moment. And then immediately, like they're like, romance is like some of the most memorable stuff in terms of that. And then will you paint me like one of your French girls?
Draw me like one of your French girls.
Is amazing. It's so
yeah.
good.
The idea that he's like an incredible artist, like not just like good at drawing or doodling, like he is actually really good, arguably the most talented person that died on the Titanic.
Can I tell you there's one weird moment in the movie that I was like, oh, interesting. You know, and again, I gave this movie full on 5 stars. So any critique I have is like, the movie is friggin' amazing and there's actually no complaints. These are small nitpicks. Is she's like, this is when they're like first meeting after the, like, I think after he saved her, like before the dinner party. And she's like, let me look at your artist book. And she takes it and she opens it up and she's like, oh. And then it cuts to what the picture is and it's a mom breastfeeding. I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. It's a little bit weird for the first picture. Is it like, did you ask the lady if you could, like, and she had to stay there for that long?
Anyway, it takes a long time to breastfeed.
I mean, yes, that's true. But he's like, excuse me, ma'am, could I draw you while you're breastfeeding? Like, yeah. it's the first one.
It's Paris. All kinds of things happen there.
Right, I'm a prude. Fine, that's fine. I hate babies.
Babies and the people who have them. That's right. One of the other cool parts of symbolism that I really that really stuck out to me on this watch is when all of the fine china starts to break. Mm-hmm. And they're just showing the destruction of the ship happening and how all of these like fine stately rooms are just getting completely trashed. And mm-hmm. in the end, it's all just a burial ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
It's awful. And there's nowhere. And again, the sight of all those bodies,
yeah,
like just floating. It's so. And the way they have to, like, Mr. Fantastic, Ian Gruffudd, whatever, however you say his name, no disrespect. He has to, like, tell the people, okay, move the, let's go slow. Yeah. We should move the bodies aside. Don't worry, they'll move. He says something along the lines of, like, don't worry, they'll move when we get there. It's brutal.
It's brutal. And to know that there were, 1,500 people on the ship and only about 900, 903 to 907 are the figures. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I know this.
They only had half the lifeboats.
Yeah.
No.
And they didn't even pack the lifeboats. They just mm-hmm.
put them on.
Gingerly put people on them.
Yep.
Yes, yeah. Including some gingers.
Two specific gingers.
And she jumped off. Yeah.
She's like, oh no.
I jump, you jump. Oh, one more thing. I can't believe that in this movie, as I was watching it, and again, they did not steal this from Avatar because Avatar came second, but there's a line in this movie where Jack looks at her and says, I see you, Rose. And I was like, oh my God, is this in every James Cameron movie? Is I see you his catchphrase? We need to look at all the other stuff. Yeah, I need to look at all these other movies and see if I see you is his catchphrase. He says, I see you in this movie.
Huh.
His first words when he was a toddler.
Maybe I see you.
James Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe that's the, his director signature. You know how like M. Night Shyamalan has to be in all of his movies like Hitchcock? Maybe his is the words, yeah. I see you.
What if he needs medical attention? Just saying, I see you. Please take me to the ICU.
Please. Oh God. Horrible. Barry Bojack. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny. That's it. Nucci. Yeah. Is there anything else?
Danny Nucci.
Sorry.
Fabrizio.
I'm looking at Fabrizio.
No, this movie is amazing. This movie is so good. It's so beautiful. It's so good. It's paced well. It's so good. It's a spectacle and a tragedy.
Should they re-release it every year, LaTanya?
No.
In theater?
I mean, I guess they could just have it extended, like, just never leave theaters.
Well, it's...
People would see it.
Strangely, this movie comes out at the end of 1997. So...
Yeah.
They released at the beginning, I think, to get some like Avatar momentum, and also like I think Dune comes out at the end of the year. So this is kind of, I think, they're just kind of like trying to like, let's slide Dune this in before Ant-Man. You know, let's put this out here.
Pre-Ant-Man.
Which is not getting great reviews. So yeah, anyway.
I'm excited to see it. And if you listen to this being like, wait, why aren't they covering Ant-Man? That is a fair question. We will be covering it next week. I'm sure at some point over the weekend there will be an Everything is Super Pod about it.
Correct.
Yep.
But look out for our coverage. I will just quickly say on this note about like the people and the survivors, I went to see this off-Broadway show this week. This is so random. Called Titanic with a Q-U-E at the end. It is so effing hilarious. I had heard from many people that it was funny. I was not expecting to be like in stitches the entire time. The only reason I'm bringing it, and it's kind of like, what if Celine Dion were a character in the movie and she was like on the Titanic? It's very like fourth wall breaking. It's very clever. She has a ridiculous accent. It's amazing. The reason I bring it up though is because
she just has a French accent.
At the end, she has like a French Canadian accent. Yeah. At the end, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, like maybe like
for
fast forward
Broadway show.
36 for this off Broadway show that most people never see. At the end, she actually reveals that like, through the power of her music and love, that she was able to save all the people.
That's hilarious.
And I had just seen the movie on Sunday. Then I saw Titanic, the off-Broadway show, on Tuesday. I started to cry. I was like, oh my God, she saved them all. This is so beautiful. Anyway.
I don't really even know why that was necessary, because everyone who's watched a Britney Spears video knows that that dude went down and got it for her in the end.
It's like, oh, but I thought the woman threw it in the water.
That's true.
Incredible call out, LT.
Thanks. Oops, I did it again.
Oops, you did it again. And now you're going to do it again when we're going to make you plug other things that you're on. But thank you so much for coming on. This was super, super fun, as usual.
Yeah, everything is fantastic in Titanic Land, except for how terrible a tragedy it was in real life. Mm-hmm. Plugs. So I am... covering a show with Marissa Garza on Netflix called You. They decided to go ahead and screw us all and break the season into two parts. So we covered all of the seasons beforehand, and then we covered the first episode of season 4, and then we did a whole season 4 so far, 5 episodes, spoiler-filled podcast. And we're coming back at you pretty soon with a feedback show. So please get your feedback in for that on our Discord, or you can tweet at me. I'll tell you how in a second. I'm also working with this new guy that not many people have heard of in the podcasting scene. His name is Josh Gergler.
Tyler Weigert?
Is that like Ishka Bibble?
Yes. They're actually related. Josh and I are doing verses, because we never stop, never stopping. And this year, and by year I mean now, we're covering The Last of Us versus Station 11. It's a tale of two apocalypses, and we're having way too much fun talking about that while living through an actual one. And then coming up soon, I'll be back on Pedro Pascal duty covering The Mandalorian, which I'm very, very excited about. And then there's a special We Got Y'all project that's coming out very soon as well. Ooh. That I will tease at a different date more. If you want to learn all the things I'm doing and saying on the internet, you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, or you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222.
Apocalypto. Love that.
Not great. Covering that one. Worst verses ever.
Uh-huh.
I'm also doing some Last of Us coverage, the recap with Mike Bloom and Video Game Club with Taryn. You and I are covering Poker Face. We're also covering Dark with Rich, and Rich and I are covering Mayfair Witches over on Rob as a podcast on Monday, February 20th. So coming up, you can check out, we're playing Sushi Go. Should be a fun crew. Mike Bloom, Allie Lasher, Maggie Morgan, Kevin McClain, and Marianne from Survivor 42. So very exciting. Check it out. You can watch the replay afterwards on the YouTube and Twitch channels. And I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace.
I can't believe the sequel to Ninja Fruit is called Sushi Go. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was Fruit Ninja. I am also on Twitter at that other Ariel. And Grace already did all my plugs. So I think I'm just going to sink into the ocean now.
No.
That actually terrifies me. Deep water is like one of my biggest fears. So even saying that out loud was like a huge deal for me. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week, like we said, covering Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Until then, I'm Ariel. That is Grace. We are pushing this theater. Bye-bye.